Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Well, hello, everybody. Today we have two guests with us, and it's just me today. Linda is unable to join us, but we have Sylvia Blakely and we have Jane Meeks together. We're going to talk about art and healing in abortion recovery and just how we can include it, maybe some hopefully some practical tips, and but also just how it helps our mind and our body heal from a different perspective. And not all of us are art people, because I am not when it comes to stuff like this, but I can't wait to get into this conversation and just see where this leads us and see what you guys can share with us. So I think I just want to quickly start, just in case somebody doesn't know you. And so you've been on so much, so I would imagine that by now everybody's heard you, but just in case, would you just share a really elevator pitch story and just how you got started and what you're doing?
Sure. I'm with Arise Daughter and Arise Artists, and we are healing ministries equipped by Holy Spirit to help women heal, train, and serve in the kingdom of God. And we use art as one medium in order to do that. And we are very blessed to be virtual. So we have an opportunity to work with women now all around the world and to be able to implement whatever it is Holy Spirit asks us to on the individual and also virtual group methods. So yes, we have the world open to us, which is just a wonderful thing. Sometimes a little scary, sometimes a little daunting, yeah. But a wonderful thing. Yes.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So Jane, just a little bit about you and what you're doing.
Well, I am a part of Light Group Ministries, and we are a small group, but growing rapidly. Of women. I am myself not post-abortive, but the Lord led me into this ministry, which I'm so thankful for. And my background is counseling. The group is women who are recovering from abortion. They've been through one of the Bible studies, and then they are trained to lead them. So we lead them for we lead them for our CareNet here in town, but we're not actually part of CareNet. And our goal is to get these into the churches in town. And we are a group of at least 6 different churches. We keep growing, and I honestly didn't ask our last meeting, but we're just very pleased to be out there helping women heal from their abortions and equip them then to go and serve and help others heal.
Yeah. And if you didn't hear Jane's podcast, go back into May and look at her podcast. She wrote a study that complements Forgiven and Set Free, Surrendering the Secret, any of those. And it's meant to be done after the woman goes through one of those books, and it helps her to share her story. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
They hear their stories, but they also grow further in their walk with the Lord and in their healing and in their new self that they came out of the first studies with, but haven't had that much time to experience who that is. So it helps them as well, so that they're a stronger testimony out there with a strong voice for the Lord.
Okay. And are you doing that virtually?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I just wanted to get that out there. And then, so you both are artists. And so this is an area that I am completely not, I've taken some art classes in school. I took some watercolors, but I was terrible. I mean, it's because I just don't have that gift. It's just not my gift. I do have a creative side, but it is not drawing and art and stuff like that. But I would like for you both to share a little bit about what you've done up to this point with art and how effective it's been with women in the healing space?
When we are healing, the most important thing that we need is to communicate with God. And so when we work with the women in the next step in the book that our group compiled the information and wrote together, we begin by examining how close we are to God by doing a drawing, a simple drawing at the beginning, where you put a mark on one on the paper. One represents you, the other represents God, and you think about and pray and ask God where he is on that piece of paper and where you are. And it can just be two dots or any shape or something that you want to symbolize yourself and God. And then after that, you pray and ask the Lord if there's anything around you or between you that needs to be in that picture. So it helps people to begin to focus on where they are with God, and it may be just how they are feeling that day. And then as we progress through the 7-week study, at the end we use that again to see if their relationship has changed, which it always has, for you know, for the better. So to answer, that's one way that I use art that I'll share for now.
Well, and that's a really, really simple, basic way. I mean, just to put a dot on a page, I can do that. I mean, that doesn't require a lot of skill. I guess what I was thinking, and forgive me for not being more specific, but I was thinking about your art that you did prior to what you're doing today, the baby art. I'm not sure what you call it. I'm so sorry. But that's, I just wanted you to talk about that. Tell us a little bit about that.
When day when I was in a National Day of Prayer and we were praying, the Lord put an image in my mind, and it was a baby in the womb, like an ultrasound picture kind of, and I strongly felt that I was to paint it. So it was something I hadn't really looked at ultrasounds and wasn't really familiar with that. That was not in they didn't even have those when I had my children. The Lord impressed upon me so much, I was just in tears walking back to my car because I knew it was something he wanted me to do. So to fast forward, well, I researched and prayed, and 9 months later, there was an exhibit. God has a great sense of humor and perfect timing. There were 7 canvases for an exhibit. And I named them Baby Scapes because that was how I made friends with switching from painting landscapes, God's beautiful creation outside, to babyscapes, his beautiful creation inside of us. Mm. And each baby shows the stage of development it's in. And then with that child is a sign that tells the in their first person what's happening to them right then in that stage of development. And the Lord said, the message of this exhibit is to be my love, because I created you, you're beautifully and wonderfully made. And when you go through that exhibit, you grasp that, what a miracle we are of his creation. So when it was first shown, it was in a place down on, we have Art Walk on Friday nights, and people came in, and some of them looked in and turned around and walked out without even seeing the exhibit. Some came in and were just in awe of the way the art was. And this was like nothing I had ever done before. God was there telling me what to do, when to stop, don't fix it, leave it. It was all of that. It was like I was painting. He was there. It was like I was his hands and he was doing it all. It was the most beautiful experience. And then some women came through that were just weeping when they would see them. And I had women come up to me afterwards and tell me that they had either lost a baby from miscarriage or that they had aborted their baby, and they would point to the one at the stage that it was at. Mm. And I felt their deep, deep regret and sorrow and shame, and they would say, this was the worst decision I ever made. Mm-hmm. So my heart was so moved by this, and compassion for what they, the burden they were carrying. Some of them were 30 years, this happened 30 years ago, and I was the first person they were telling. So, and this was not just at that one showing, this happened at various times as they've been shown. And so I became aware of the secret. I became aware of the intense hurt, the 40% of women that have experienced this. And that was one way that my art began to be used in helping people heal from abortion. Because from there, I referred them to a study, which I ended up learning about and using, and the light group was birthed out of all of that.
Wow. And just to touch that woman's heart, you know, and it always amazes me because ultrasound is so easy to come by. I mean, we can go all over the internet and see babies in a, you know, in videos and stuff, if we just Google that. And I'm sure, I know, as a matter of fact, that I wouldn't be as a woman who's had an abortion, but I've had a daughter. I saw her ultrasound, I remember. And I don't know, something about her ultrasound did not trigger anything. Of course, I tried to forget about my abortions, but I didn't forget. Does that make sense? And so it was always there, you know, for me. I just tried to, hopefully, I was hoping that someday it would just kind of disappear and go away, but it never did. So I guess imagine the art that you did just really triggered their hearts.
The paintings were 24 by 36. I had never painted anything that big, but that was what I saw when the Lord gave me that commissioning. And they were three-dimensional. Like they, you know, came out from the canvas. That also was from what I had been led to do. So it makes them more impactful when you're viewing them.
Yeah.
And one of the babies is Jesus. And that's so that when you're talking about it, you can explain that Jesus came just like we did to the earth, and the whole story of him and his forgiveness for our sins, also helps people to come forward and finally share.
That is beautiful.
That is beautiful and powerful. And now I want to see them in person. That's the first time I think I've grasped or heard that you say that they're in 3D. So Sylvia, you and your ladies did an exhibit in Ohio not too long ago. And I just want you to share a little bit about just the power of that and what was the outcome of women who came or men?
Yes. All of us at Arise Artists are post-abortive. Some have had multiple abortions. Some have had abortions after having living children. Some never had children after their abortion. So we come from a lot of different backgrounds. Some, but I would say most probably didn't come to really understand the pain of our abortion for at least a decade. And so just to piggyback on what you just said, Mindy, so much of our shame and grief was hidden. So in our art, I think initially what we were producing were a lot of abstracts. It would have been really unusual, actually, I think, to see a woman paint an actual child. Mm-hmm. That would have been very, very difficult, I think, initially. But from the beginning, there were a lot of fieldscapes, I'll put it that way, where the abstractness of it and the colors brought an intensity about the feeling. And I think until you know what your feelings are, and I think until you can name them and understand what you're really working with, art is a way to allow your body to get those feelings out. I'm a collagist, so I don't paint necessarily, but what comes out from my collages are things that can be very sometimes right on the nose and explain exactly what it is I'm feeling, and sometimes very abstract, because sometimes, again, those feelings can come from different places and you can be in different levels of healing through it. So we promote whatever it is God is promoting in their heart. We really ask that everything that comes into you comes out, and that you don't allow even your own barriers to let God speak through you. So we had an exhibit seven of us. Each of us had at least four or five pieces. Some were mixed media, some were textiles. Some were paintings, there was photography, there was poetry, So we work in all of these different mediums, whatever it is that God is giving us at the time to express ourselves. And I can remember God had asked me to do a series of four collages. And these were very provocative. We had a certain room, a special room at this church where we had our gallery set up called the Red Room. And so what it was meant to do was allow people, if they so chose, to go in and look at some of these images. So some were very, very raw, very real, and were provoking. And I'd done one, and a lady was there with us, and she was post, I didn't know she was post abortive at the time. She was there to help us set up. I pulled out one of these images, and I kind of had turned it over, and she asked me if she could see it. And I said, well, it's a little, you know. And what it was two women. And one is taking the very first abortion pill. And there's a caption that says, oh, this is going to be easy. And then the second woman is looking at her. These are both silhouettes, and she's taking the four additional pills. And things are happening in this collage that reflect what really happens after a woman has taken the chemical abortion pills. And this woman immediately began. And she said, I had no idea, first of all, that women go through this sort of torture and trauma. And then she began to tell me her story. The art that pulls out of you what it is God wants to heal all along is the art that I feel he wants us to make, at least. We do those pieces also that just make us feel good because of what we might be going through in the moment. But we were really challenged by a photographer by the name of Angela Forker, who is not a post-abortive, but she did a series of photographs of women who were post-abortive. God just called her, kind of like you, Jane, to a mission field, and she accepted the call. And she really challenged us to use our art in a little bit more of a provocative way to bring up these conversations that women don't even want to have with themselves and to be there then to minister to this woman at the same time as she's going through was really powerful. And now to be able to, maintain a relationship with her, which is what we do at Arise Daughter as we mentor women, it means a lot to us because we know that God is doing something through this that's very, very powerful. He wants his daughters reconciled to him. He wants them healed. He wants them whole. And we're just grateful that he uses art as one way to do that. And so as we harness what it is he's asking us to utilize, it makes a huge difference, I think, in how the women can piece together their healing. Because it's not always straightforward. It's not always linear, as grieving is not, but it allows them to piece it together in the way that God has best for them, which is unique.
So this is so beautiful because I just pulled out of some things that you said. Art allows the body to get the feelings out. And you also said it pulls out of you that part of that healing that God wants to heal all along. And then you made the comment that conversations with you can have conversations with now with women that they don't even want to have with themselves because of this. And I just think all of that is just really powerful because we try to put it down, put it behind, put it under, whatever it is. And some people are actually very, very successful in the sense that God has to remind them that they had an abortion. They literally put it back so far, buried it so deep. But I don't think that's the majority of us. I really think that's a minority of us truly. But to have an emotion or to have a thought triggered so deeply, you can't ignore it, is what it sounds like art is doing. And it opens up a pathway for conversation. And God is using you as compassionate healers, if you will, to kind of open that valve and say, okay, I don't want you to ignore this any longer.
Yes,
That's what it seems
agreed.
like. So
And
go ahead, go ahead.
I liked when you said that it allows them to keep it together. I mean, they're seeing what they did and the image there, and they're able to communicate with it and put it all together, start to make sense of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Cry through it, walk around it and give it its space. You know, these, as you were just saying, Mindy, these feelings for some of us have been repressed for decades. So, you know, just to even start, as Jane said, with dots on paper, you know, we'll start a channel, start something new in their brain that will open up a conversation with themselves and with God about where he is in their life and what he wants to do in their lives. And I, you know, it can be, you know, I know you said, Mindy, you're not creative, but it can be through gardening. It could be through cooking. It could be through several, you know, there's lots of different ways that sometimes he can talk to us. That we can, you know, let that executive part of our brain go and just kind of allow him in. But I don't know that we know that we're doing that unless somebody is kind of facilitating and guiding in that. And I think that's where Jane and I probably come in a little bit, in that we help you connect those dots.
Yeah,
literally.
That's beautiful. And I'm thinking of you guys. Okay, so you had these two exhibits, and women had the artists in your case, Sylvia, and you, Jane, in your case, created art Sylvia, out of your own pain, emotion, experiences, and then Jane, you created art out of vision and revelation of God, and you brought it to a space that women were having no intention to come and talk about this thing. I mean, they were just out doing their thing, right? They had no intention that this is what was going to happen today. They weren't seeking this out. So maybe if we could pivot a little bit and just go now back to that conversation, Jane, that you had, and Sylvia, any ideas that you have, how does creating art help a person who needs healing? What are we doing? Because we're in a Bible study, generally. We're in some sort of study group or something, and we're talking and we're studying and we're looking at words on a page and we're talking these things out and we're having some really talk therapy, you know, as we go through that. But now, if we were to shift into something that requires a different part of our brain, even like putting a dot on a page. And Jane, I love that. So you put a dot on a page, and then you're required to sit there and consider and pray, where is God on that page in relationship to you? And then you come back and you say, what's between you? Mm-hmm. What's between you and him? And, you know, that does require a different kind of thought process. So I just want you both to speak into, you know, how does creating art for the woman help her heal?
It definitely takes down the defenses, the verbal defenses, because, you know, the abortion wasn't just a one isolated time event. It was surrounded with many other things that also probably weren't talked about or processed, and they all just get put way down to where you don't want to think about them. But like you were saying, Sylvia, with the collage and the pictures and what that brings up, when other people see that, it is past the verbal, and it hits the emotions. And I always warn people when they're afraid to do art that God knows how much you can receive from what is happening, and he's not going to give you more than you're able to receive. That person that made that collage image, I would love to see that, Sylvia, and I wish that it could be out there in public for many to see that are speaking out and trying to educate people about the pill. I just picture it hidden somewhere, and I want to see it. So I hope that person realizes that would be a very loud voice to see. But to get back on track, that it takes the defenses down. And I had somebody tell me this that is in my group that was very resistive to art. She said she just she holds her cards very close to herself, so that nobody could know about her. And she had been through many things in her life as well. And she did not want to do art because that would reveal through that, let some things out that she didn't want people to know about her. But she said when she saw other people doing it in a group and saw their art and saw that they too had experienced similar things, and this is without speaking words. And you see that just like with the abortion pill in the collage, then you begin to talk about it. It bypasses trying to find words, even digging out an emotion that you're trying that you haven't felt or allowed yourself to feel. It goes around all of that and brings God into it and brings things out that our defenses have kept down for ages.
Amen. You know, in the neuroscience world, and this is why I love God so much, because as he's created the sciences, now we can sort of understand a little bit better how he's wired us. And it's exactly what Jane said, the executive part of our brain, which, you know, develops later, is the one that's able to completely ignore something as traumatic as an abortion. Yet it's stored in the amygdala and is stored in our prefrontal cortex. Well, guess where trauma and art meet up? In the amygdala and in the prefrontal cortex. They meet in the same part of the brain. So when you begin to observe art, even you can look at art and still access those areas. You don't even have to be creating art. But as you are in that mode, you're accessing where the trauma is stored. And so there's almost like this direct next door connection to where all of the trauma has affected you. And so you can have this intimate conversation with your trauma through art that your front brain doesn't have to censor, doesn't have to be involved in even sometimes. And that's a freeing thing, because we spend a lot of energy. And this is literal. I'm talking about for real brain energy, like blood flow and use of all of the chemicals that go into keeping our executive brain functioning well. We use a lot of energy trying to ignore what's happening in some of the other parts of our brain. And so art will just bypass all of that and go straight to the areas of the trauma. So you're right. You do have to be very cognizant that the art is going to open up some areas that you have to be ready to help the woman work through, because she won't know where they're coming from oftentimes.
Yeah, I would imagine, especially like out in public with these displays that you've had, that that would be a bit of a surprise. It's always something that I'm super sensitive just to even say the word abortion out in public, because I never know who's going to hear and be triggered. And Linda's with us, a little late, but there she is. But that is, I have a feeling, Linda, that you thought maybe this was a 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock like normal, but it was a 12 at one. Yeah, I did the same thing. Thanks to Sylvia. She texted me. I
Okay,
got
so
it in
you're
time.
here, Linda.
Yes. So
Yes.
we're deep in the conversation of art and trauma and just about ending, but I do want you ladies to share with us. Because I'm, like I said, I'm not creative. And Jane, you shared a very practical thing that's in your book. And so what I was hoping, and I don't know if I can do this. I know I sent you this question ahead of time, so I really don't want to put you on the spot, but I was hoping that you could give us some very practical ideas that when we're in abortion recovery groups, what are some art ideas that we could do that just that may not be, super, it may not require a lot of us creatively, but yet would help us while we're in those groups, just to, especially when it gets hard. Okay, so it's time to shift maybe the brain out of that hard place for a little while, give it a rest, like get out of the deep end, go into the shallow end, but it, or in a different way, with art, just kind of move us through a little bit. I don't know what I'm trying to ask. So if you, I hope you know what I'm trying to ask.
There's one that is in Pat Layton's book that is something that is a really moving experience. And it does, it's like, first of all, biblically, when Christ gives us a command to do something, well, he says, if you do this, or if you will humble yourselves and pray, then I will save the nation. So when he is, I will heal the land. But when he wants to bless us, he requires an action. And so to me, art is part of taking the action. So it's a step in faith to jump out there and do something. So this cloth that is a white cloth, I wrote it down, but I'll just try and tell it. You take a watercolor marker and you choose colors that are emotions, and you about over the abortion and the things that you're needing forgiveness for, and the colors represent those things. And then you dip that watercolor marker that you used, you dip the cloth into water and soap and swish it around. That's giving it to Jesus and pulling it out, and it is washed white.
Oh, I love it.
That's neat. Yeah.
That is in Pat Layton's Surrendering the Secret. She has different experiential things, but we've used that and it's so impactful. And that doesn't require a lot of artistic talent, just a few basic materials.
So I'm gonna jump in because I'm thinking that maybe somebody else is thinking what I'm thinking. When I think of art, I guess I have a very narrow view, a definition of art. I don't think of something like that. I think more of like having to draw, you know, or having to create an image or a picture or something. And I do forget, because I'm not much of an abstract art. Like, I don't really care for abstract art. Typically, it doesn't. I like things that look like real things generally. And I don't really think of stuff like this, but it is art in the sense of, if I could kind of just say this, it's color, it's action, it's in the sense that the color in this case represents the feelings, the emotions, the forgiveness, the pieces that we want healed, you know. And so we're applying I guess color, I don't know what else to say, something different to what those emotions look like versus the words and the action behind, like, you know, the physical responses that we have behind them. And am I on point there? Am I a little?
Yeah, I think it's more than, it's getting beyond words. It's activating our eyes and activating our hands. Mm-hmm. So it's activating a different part of the brain. We're so used to words, you know, that's where we live, most of us. But it is connecting with that other part of the brain that is creative. And sometimes you just can't put it in words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there actually is, again, not to geek out or nerd out too much on brain chemistry.
Yeah,
no, please do.
There is something called mirror neurons in our brain that apparently love the action of a thing. So when you're doing art and you're in a group, for example, and you're blessed to be in a room together and you're watching each other do the art and you're doing the art, it actually is helping with socialization. It's helping build empathy skills. And so you don't have to do it right or wrong, Cindy, just the doing of it is a way to help heal, and help build community and connect. And so those are also other ways, you know, that God is using community to heal. And I think that's where really important oftentimes is we can't be in the same physical space with a Arise artist. We're in virtual space, but we're certainly sharing and holding up, and we're taking the time to, you know, have our quiet time so that we can develop what it is we're developing, and we're sharing and speaking out so that we can try to create that community as much as possible. And we're in awe of what other people are doing, because it's completely different than the way we were thinking of that assignment. And again, that's the no right or wrong piece of, you know, it's yours. And whatever it is you and God create is the right thing for that moment.
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. So do you have any practical things that you like to do in groups, Sylvia, or that you've considered doing and haven't done yet, or whatever?
Well, we do a lot of journey work. So we do start with oftentimes templates. I will email people templates so that they can print them out, so they don't have to feel, you know, as as challenge to draw a butterfly, for example, or, you know, we do transition and turning work. So sometimes we'll use the metaphor of the butterfly as a way to go from one stage to another, just in thought. So I will send people those templates so that they have a starting place. And then we just, oftentimes we'll gift them with a gift to get Michaels to go get markers, the watercolors, the, you know, the crayons, whatever it is we're asking them to do for that month. So there's really no reason why they can't get involved. And then we just give them the whole, you know, we give them 90 minutes. We work through we work through the actual, and then we have a debrief about what the experience was like for us. And then oftentimes if we're together in community on like WhatsApp, we'll continue to talk about what it is that exercise has awakened in us, because we know it's oftentimes a process, an ongoing process. We did an exercise called the iceberg not long ago, and I promise you, we were all working for this for a week or two. Continued ideas and promptings from Holy Spirit came to us about this exercise. So yes, it is. It's a growth, and we are not only ones to again look at what's happening right now, but we're always looking where God wants to take us, because we are on a healing journey. Mm-hmm. And again, like we said, it's not always linear, but he is taking us somewhere. And so we want to keep that as a focus as well, that God is moving you to a new place.
And no surprise you picked butterflies. You've got three in your background, I can see. But I want to ask you about that template, Sylvia, just because when you say template, I'm thinking, what's that look like? And maybe somebody else is too. So is that something that you would share if somebody was interested in implementing that in their program? With them, if they could contact you, or can you just give us an idea what that looks like? Like when you say template, what do you mean?
So over my shoulder here is one of the butterflies. This is just one that I've drawn and colored in, but we will use this actual model, and I will literally put it on a scanner and send it to them by email, and then they will print it out. And we're only audio, we're not visual, but yeah, so then we'll actually use that as the starter point for an exercise on where God, where you feel like you are now, and where God can literally take you through this healing journey. And so, Jane was saying, we'll pick different colors, we'll use different shapes and things to kind of fill in. We'll use different wording inside of the butterfly to give it more, you know, more meat, I guess you could say, in terms of what it is God is using it for. But yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, you can definitely get in contact with us, riseartist.com, and I will share with you what it is. Hey, freely it was given to me, freely I will give it away. I have no problem with that.
Awesome. I love that. I love it. Well, go ahead, Jane.
I wanted to circle back with a couple things, Sylvia, that you were saying that I think are really important. You talked about after you do the exercises that you spend time debriefing and circle back and things. And because art as therapy, because we're using art, it can open up wounds that they didn't know were there. And so when you are doing that, as with anyone or a group, it's very important to, at the end, really talk about the meaning of what they just experienced and bring God into it, bring peace into it. And I always, in anything that I do with the healing, is end with a second image that is an image that includes light, something positive that comes out of the hurt that they experienced, and something that will bring them to a safe place, to a place of closure, to a place, as you're saying, Sylvia, to contemplate further the meanings, but to do it in a safe way. So just don't ever, like in my book, I one of the exercises I say, you have to make time to do exercise two. You cannot end with exercise one, because it's just, it's like somebody sharing their soul and then you just walk away. You know, we can't do that. We all want that healing that God wants us to have.
Yeah.
That's
And Jane, just to piggyback off of that really quickly as well, you know, you mentioned the collage that I created that is so provocative. I am that way as well, Mindy. I'm very sensitive about some of the art that you know, God has asked me to do in terms of where it's placed, because it can create a lot of emotions for people that they may not know where to go once, you know, they experience them. So, yeah, Jane, I, you know, a lot of things that I know that he will find a place for some of the art, because he asked me, he commissioned it. So I know that there's, you know, there's going to be places for it. Right now it is actually on my wall, but I feel really sensitive about just putting it out there in a way that, like you said, does not have a safe haven for women then to come and to talk about it and speak about it and circle back about it. So, yeah, I think you do have to be cognizant of where you're leading people when you open up that art window.
Absolutely. Well, gosh, this was so much fun. I learned some things. I learned some words that I can't repeat because Sylvia got us into the deep spaces of brain science, and I just can't repeat those words. But that was so much fun, and I think it was so insightful. So I just hope and pray that whoever listens gets a lot out of this. And thank you, ladies, for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you,
Really
Mindy.
enjoyed it.
Sylvia, it was nice to meet you. And
You as well, Jane. I'm praying that we get a chance to collaborate somehow, some way together.
yes, that would be wonderful.
I'm thinking you guys aren't far from each other, so hopefully you could do that. That'd be great.
Great.
Yeah.
Linda, good to see you again.
Bye-bye. Thank you.